I'm pretty confident in saying that every single one of us knows how tricky families can be. There are many delights, but also so many challenges, internal and external. So when a global pandemic like COVID-19 hits us all those dynamics are ramped up more and more. But there are also unexpected surprises and lots of opportunities for families. When it's a blended or separated family, there's also a range of other challenges, but also opportunities. I'm Lee Hatcher, and I'm in another one of our Corona Podcast Zoom conversations with Davide Di Pietro, a clinical social worker at the Resilience Centre, who specialises in helping families when, as we say, life happens. So, what's he hearing from families about how they're coping?
I guess I'm hearing that COVID era has come with some unexpected opportunities and some surprises to be thankful for. I'm also hearing, of course, stories of families struggling with balancing working from home, schooling from home, being at home all of the time. You know, I hate to say it, but it seems to be case by case for a lot of families. What's happening for Australians and for people all over the world at the moment is unprecedented. And yes, on so many levels, we don't really know what to expect. Families themselves are complex constellations. And so we can't just have a hard and fast rule about how to navigate this.
I think we all know that. I mean, every family is a case by case without a global pandemic on their hands.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Davide, when it comes to blended or separated families, which is another one of your specialties, what's the range of dynamics that are going to be at work in how they are managing this?
There are so many different factors to consider. What comes to mind is the age of the children. Older kids have a capacity to understand greater complexity than younger kids. So considering how children make sense of change is an important thing to think about. Living arrangements. Are there grandparents in the home? In many cases, after separation, a parent may move in with their parents, the grandparents of the child. So thinking about that, or a parent may also be providing care for a grandparent. Considering that in this time, grandparents are likely to fall into the high-risk category if contracting the virus.
Yes.
Resources for homeschooling or care. We think about the huge adjustment and stresses many parents are experiencing in regards to homeschooling. If a parent works full-time or part-time or is an essential worker, being a single parent is hard. And balancing work or working from home with kids is another challenge parents are facing. One parent may be in a better position to meet the needs of the child temporarily, and I want to stress that word.
And at this kind of time, those stressors and anxieties and fears within families of all types are only exacerbated by something like this pandemic. And as best as they can, that's probably the time that there needs to be a fresh look at cooperation within a family.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. You know, the level of conflict between parents or the level of parental cooperation is a huge factor. High conflict makes communication, decision-making, compromise feel harder or even impossible. One, but often both parents can feel hopeless when trying to find a new way of doing things to create a safe arrangement. You know, I'm hearing a lot of, it's just too difficult at the moment.
So give us your wisdom on the ways that they can best manage. As you say, it'll be a case-by-case thing, but there are probably some principles we can offer them.
Yeah, firstly, Lee, can I just say that one of the things that I've noticed to be making a huge impact on stopping the spread of the coronavirus is that, for the most part, people are working together. In crisis, we always see the best and the worst of us, yes. But the cooperation that I hear and that I see and the taking up of opportunities is the thing that I think is responsible for our success at the moment. Just going to the supermarket this week, shoppers are smiling at one another, waiting patiently for gaps in traffic so as to maintain a good physical distance.
Well done to them.
Yeah. In separated families, more than ever, there are opportunities where perhaps there may have been conflict or rigidity in the past, but now to cooperate, to work together so that everyone can be safe. Some parents I've been speaking to have opted to adopt a safe harbour approach. That is, parents have agreed on the same set of rules regarding who can come into the house, how parents interact with their workplace and community. So essentially, they run two households as one. That way, children can go between the two houses with minimal risk of contracting and spreading the virus.
You keep using the word opportunities. Give us some of the other kind of practical measures, or as you say, opportunities that parents and kids, I suppose, and grandparents in blended or separated families have at this time.
I think, Lee, the opportunity to spend quality time is there. Quality being the key word there. It's not just running here, there and everywhere, running from pickups to drop-offs to after-school activities to sport, but there's an opportunity for parents to spend that quality, meaningful time and build a relationship where maybe they haven't felt like they've had the opportunity to build a relationship in the past.
And I think this needs to be said. Something like this requires conflict as much as possible to be at an absolute minimum.
Yeah, other families in different circumstances may be choosing to have their children locked down in one household for any number of reasons. I would caution, more generally caution, as I understand the family court is also against parents using COVID-19 as an opportunity to change shared care arrangements to their advantage.
Yes.
I think there are some legitimate and sensible reasons why parents might choose to do this. For example, some of the things that we've already talked about, if a parent is living with an elderly person or somebody who might be immune compromised, it's obviously the safer option. Other families may have a parent who's an essential worker and another who is not. And so one parent may be able to better attend to the child's needs, including homeschooling during this time. Children benefit from a close relationship with their parents, and regardless of which opportunity, children benefit from a close relationship with their parents, regardless of which house the child is spending time at. Technology can make things easier in regards to communication. Video calls, text messaging, video blogs, voicemails can all be interesting ways, novel ways of staying connected.
And when it comes to an attitude, I'll never forget a great phrase that you used in our pre-Christmas podcast on families. And you said, you know, negotiating that often stressful time, it's time to, for the parents to put their big boy and big girl pants on.
Yeah.
It said a lot.
Yeah, a favourite phrase of mine. We've been talking about parents. Just let's take a moment to look at the map, though. What I mean is focus on the kids. We've been talking about stresses and anxieties and priorities and decision-making, social responsibilities and physical health. There's a lot going on for all of us as adults. Chances are that many children are feeling unsure, uncertain, confused, scared. So let's make sure that we tune into that. Make sure they're okay. Be flexible, be kind, be calm. Even if there is something happening that is different to what you as a parent might want right now, chances are it's temporary. It takes a calm brain to calm a brain. So let's try and be calm and tune into our kids.
I like that. I'll take that away for myself. A calm brain to calm a brain. Well done. You'd acknowledge the huge stress that many of these families, especially this time, and kids and parents are under, to say nothing of their anxieties and the whole tricky arena of communication breakdowns.
There's a good chance that if you're a parent, then you're preoccupied with lots of things at the moment. Your health, the health of your children and family members, daily pressures, worry about employment, loss of income, lack of social support due to the restrictions, homeschooling, homeworking, the list goes on.
Yes.
So it's expected, I guess, that stress levels would go up. With increased stress, what you're going to get and what you can expect are more communication breakdowns.
Yeah.
It may be helpful to adjust some expectations during this time. As parents, we want to do the best that we can. Some parents have certain principles and they're very capable at upholding them. Often in separated families, parents can hold very different principles and have very different expectations. Some parents may have different views of risk and therefore different decisions for their children. Remember from our chats before, Lee, conflict is a killer.
Yep.
Kids do not adjust to ongoing parental conflict, and it can have very serious implications on their mental health and their development. In a time when there are physical health risks and social responsibilities, it's probably helpful to make those a priority and maybe an opportunity to soften or even let go of some of the things that a parent may have been holding on to in the past. If possible, keep up the communication. Verbal is best.
Yes.
But text or email, and even using a friend or a professional like a therapist or a mediator to facilitate a conversation might be what you need.
It's so true. There's such wisdom in that. And I think one of the tricky dynamics in our modern world is the text or the email. And you just can't always convey what you should be or need to be conveying there. Verbal is best.
Absolutely. It's so tricky to talk or to have a conversation via text because we miss out on so much of the message, the non-verbal stuff, the tone, the body language if we're in person. That all contributes to the message being sent across. A lot of that gets lost in text.
You bet. Without identifying them, is there a family you can tell us the story of who are in this position but negotiating all this well? They're moving forward well and taking up some of those opportunities that you mentioned.
I have the honour of talking with some amazing parents who are doing such a great job at navigating this. I spoke with a father who was really challenged by the communication with the mother of his child recently. He explained that he recognises that speaking over the phone is more helpful during this time, but he was also saying that he often feels like the discussions are more taxing and triggering for him and for his ex-partner. He spoke to me about how he set things up so that he has the opportunity to reach out to a friend after each time he speaks with his ex-partner, and that's to debrief, to vent, to let things go. And that is such a helpful thing, because what the research suggests is that when parents utilize other adults as resources to help them process their emotions, that's one of the kind of the hallmarks of helpful behavior in regards to separated parents.
That's such good advice.
It's not about not getting triggered or not finding things challenging, but it's about what you do next that makes the biggest difference.
Yes. Just finally, Davide, I'd love you to share with us your own personal story of how you and your family are making it through this. Not that it's a blended or separated family, but you've got the joy, but also the challenge of a four-week-old baby girl. How's that all going, Davide?
There are parts of what's going on right now that I'm really enjoying. There are parts that, of course, are challenging. Having a newborn is... well, we really would have tried to lay low anyway, so I guess we get to do that now without feeling all the guilt.
Well, long may that guilt be assuaged, Davide. Great wisdom and great insights and great experience in your specialty field. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you, Lee. Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to another Coronavirus, The Resilient Response podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. You'll find our other podcasts in this series and so many great resources at www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.